This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. As we mentioned last time, it's a halaqah, right? So if I can get everybody to come close, inshallah, you know, show me the love. I love you, Allah, this is why I came here. Okay, so I want you to come close. The closer you come, the warm the place will be, inshallah. And at the time of the Prophet, as I said, it used to be called halaqah, right? Circle. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the benefit, inshallah. So last time, I stopped with a cliffhanger, which was, I told you that the Surah Yusuf, was revealed towards the end of the 10th year of Da'wah, before Hijrah. And that was the time when the oppression and persecution of the people of Mecca, the followers of the Prophet ﷺ, you know, was at its peak. And not only that, two tragic events happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these two tragic events, the first one was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lost Khadija radiallahu anha. And this is why that year was called Aam al-Huzn, the year of sadness. Because not only did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lose his beloved wife Khadija, who lived with him for 25 years. And he loved her so much so that Aisha radiallahu anha, after she died, she was the closest one to the Prophet ﷺ. She said, I have never felt jealous of anyone, even after she passed away, more than Khadija. Subhanallah. When Khadija passed away, Aisha radiallahu anha was 6 years old. So what happened was, she said, every time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be sitting with me, he will mention Khadija. So he's showing us as a husband how loyal he was to his wife, how loving he was to his wife. Not only that, she said, if we slaughter an animal or something, he would say, remember the friends of Khadija, send them some meat. If Khadija was here now, she would have done this, she would have said this. So Aisha radiallahu anha, one time she felt jealous and she couldn't take it. She said, would you keep remembering that old lady? Hasn't Allah replaced you with a better one? He said, no, wallahi. Kalla wallahi lam yubdilani Allahu khayran minha. No, by Allah, Allah has never replaced me with a better one. فَقَدْ صَدَّقَتْنِي حِينَ كَذَّبَنِ النَّاسِ. She believed me when everyone else rejected me. وَآوَتْنِي بِنَفْسِهَا وَمَالِهَا. She supported me with herself and with her wealth. وَآتَانِ اللَّهُ مِنْهَا الْوَلَدِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me all of my children from her. Of course, with the exception of Ibrahim from Maria al-Qubtiyya. So Aisha never said that again. He loved her so much so that sometimes he'll be sitting and Hala, her cousin, would come and knock on the door. Sorry, her sister. She would knock on the door and the Prophet ﷺ would imagine it's Khadija. He would say, Khadija? Allahu Akbar. That's a lesson for us as husbands today. One of the sisters was talking to me. She said, how can we have our men being loyal like this? I'm sure if I die, my husband will marry the second day. But look, the Prophet ﷺ stayed without marriage after he lost Khadija for 2 years. He married her when he was 25, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Khadija was 40 years old. She was 15 years older than him. And she was married twice before him. She had even a son who was almost 21, close to the age of the Prophet ﷺ. And she was a businesswoman. She was very wealthy, and the Prophet ﷺ was working for her. She lived with him for 25 years. When she passed away, the Prophet ﷺ was 50 years old, and she was 65 years old. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him all the children from her. Zainab, the oldest, radiallahu anha. Umm Kulthum, Ruqayya, and Fatima, radiallahu anhunna ajma'in. And then Al-Qasim, and At-Tayyib, or Abdullah. And then later on, the Prophet ﷺ had a third boy called Ibrahim from Maria, the Coptic who came from Egypt. These are the seven children of the Prophet ﷺ. All the males, they died when they were young. And of course, the wisdom of Allah. Imagine if they're alive today. Or like their descendants, I mean. So going back. So one thing that happened, a tragic event, that was a great loss. Because she was a main supporter amongst the human beings to the Prophet ﷺ. And the second tragic event was 2 weeks after his uncle Abu Talib passed away. And his uncle Abu Talib was like a shield between him and what Mecca was trying to do to get rid of him. He supported him so much so that, you know, like we don't have time to go because this is the seerah, that one time the people of Mecca came and they told him, listen, look at your nephew. He is like making fun of our gods. And he's belittling our faith. Leave us alone with him. So he came to the Prophet ﷺ, and this was one of the few times when the Prophet ﷺ cried. He came to him and he said, my nephew, Mecca is exercising too much pressure on me. And I'm in a very embarrassing situation. So can you stop what you're doing? And the Prophet ﷺ cried. He said, Amma, Wallahi, la wada'u shamsa an yamini, wal qamara an shimali. By Allah, if they were to bring the sun down and put it to my right, and bring the moon down and put it to my left, basically these are symbols of being in control of the universe. The sun of the day and the moon of the night. عَلَىٰ أَنْ أَتْرُكَ هَذَا الدِّينَ مَا تَرَكْتُهُ حَتَّى يُظْهِرَهُ اللَّهُ أَوْ أَهْلَكَ دُونَ. I will never give up until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives victory to this deen or I die. At that point, Abu Talib said, ابن أخي امضي فإنك على الحق والله لا أسلمك لهم أبدا. My nephew, keep doing what you're doing. You're following the religion of the truth. And I will never, you know, let you down. And I will never give them what they want from me. The 3 years when there was a boycott by Mecca, they stopped dealing with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No business, no marriage, nothing. They were living where? In Sha'ba Abi Talib. That place belonged to Abu Talib. They stayed there for 3 years. And they suffered a lot so that we can be Muslims today. Can you imagine in a hadith where Bilal radiallahu an said the food of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be a piece of bread that I would smuggle from Mecca, because they were cornered in that Sha'b, in that valley. And I would put it under my armpit in the scorching heat of Mecca. Can you imagine a piece of bread under the armpit of someone sweating? That would be the food of the Prophet ﷺ. How much did they go through? And today when we go through a difficulty, we say, man, it's too tough. Bilal said, we came to a point where we used to eat the leaves of the trees. So when we use the washroom, we will be exactly like animals. You see, eating the leaves of the trees, there was nothing. 3 years. So of course, when Abu Talib passed away, what happened? It was very tough for the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba. Because the oppression and persecution of Mecca came to its peak. So because this year is called Aam al-Huzn, what does that mean? The year of sadness. So they said one of the reasons of the revelation of Surah Yusuf is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you are going through a lot, if you are rejected by your own uncle, Yusuf was rejected by his own brothers. I'm going to tell you the story of Yusuf. If you are an orphan, you lost your dad before you came to life, Yusuf lost his dad and he was alive, which is even more difficult. Can you imagine? If you're an orphan, at least you know your dad is dead. But Yusuf alayhi salam was deprived of his father for 40 years and he was living in Palestine, and Yusuf alayhi salam was living in Egypt. His dad is alive somewhere, but he doesn't know how to get to him. If your mother died at the age of 6, O Muhammad, Yusuf's mother died when he was 3 years old. And if we go on and on and on with what Yusuf alayhi salam went through, so as if Allah is saying, O Muhammad, I'm going to reveal a surah that will give you some patience, so you can accept what you're going through. And it's for all of us today too. If anything wrong happens to you, compare yourself to what happened to Yusuf alayhi salam. Just think about that. So, they said, نزلت سورة يوسف تسرية وتسلية. What are these two concepts in Arabic? تسرية وتسلية. تسلية means entertaining. One element of a story is that it's entertaining, it's appealing, right? Even as a professor at the university, when I teach, I always use stories. You know why? Because it keeps the audience engaged. And I know how to cliffhang them, as I will do to you tonight, inshallah. Because this keeps people like, you know, they want to know more. And subhanAllah, one of the beautiful, unique things about Surah Yusuf is that it's the only surah in the Quran, the only surah in the Quran that has the entire story of Yusuf alayhi salam, from the beginning to the end. Let's say, for example, if you check the story of Musa alayhi salam, it's scattered in 20 something surahs. One scene here, one scene here, one scene there. The story of Adam alayhi salam, 7 surahs. You have to go through that surah, get a picture, get like an image, like a scene and a scene from here to put it together. And the rest of them. But Surah Yusuf, from the beginning to the end, it's the entire full story of the life of Yusuf alayhi salam. This is where Allah mentioned in the surah, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. O Muhammad, we relate to you the best of stories. One aspect of the fact that it's the best of stories, because it's the entire story of Yusuf alayhi salam in one spot. So this is the first part, tasliya, entertainment. Tasriya, we say tasriya an al-humum wal-ahzan. Because I told you two tragic events happened to him. He lost his wife Khadija and he lost his uncle Abu Talib. So Allah is saying, you know what? We just want to relieve you of that grief and sadness. That's tasriya. Now, something else about Surah Yusuf. I told you that the Sahaba were going through a lot, right? So it's also for them, and it's for us today, to compare whatever you're going through to what Yusuf alayhi salam went through. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, What was common in Mecca as faith? It was idol worshipping. People used to make gods out of their own hands, right? And they worshipped them. There were 360 idols around the Kaaba. Even like one day, a young man was talking to Umar later on. He said, Umar, where were your minds, man, when you used to make your own gods with your own hands, and then you slaughter for them, and you worship them, and you make dua to them? Don't you have minds? And look at Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, no, we had minds, but we didn't have hidayah. We have reasons, we have minds, but we don't have guidance. And this is why one of the funny stories about Umar is that, you know, mostly like Arabs, when they travel, they have to take a god with them. They have to take their god with them. And their god, they will just like, you know, try to find a piece of stone or rock. They will wash it and put it in their bag. And this is going to be their god. So when Umar radiallahu anhu was traveling one day, he couldn't find a piece of rock. The only thing he could find around was some dates. So he made a god out of dates, and he put his god in the back, and he traveled. Guess what? In the middle of his journey, he felt hungry. What did he do? He took his god out and he ate him. Isn't this funny? And that's Umar radiallahu anhu. And the day he went to kill the Prophet ﷺ, this was the day of his guidance. That was the day of his hidayah. SubhanAllah. So going back to the story. So what was common in Mecca at that time, so that you know the historical background? Idolatry, idol worshipping, right? There were some people here and there, but they did not, you know, voice their iman. For example, Warqa ibn Nawfal, the cousin of Khadija radiallahu anha. He was following the true Christianity, the pure Christianity, that Isa alayhi salam is the Prophet of Allah, not the Son of God or a God or anything. Okay? But he was hiding this fact. And that's why when the Prophet salam received the first revelation, and he came back to who? To the one who was supporting him all the time, Khadija. He said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me, cover me. I think I'm possessed. She said, Kalla. Wallahi la yukhzika Allahu abada. She said, no, Allah will never do this to you. And listen carefully. This is the description of the Prophet ﷺ even before Islam. He was an activist before Islam. And he was having the akhlaq, the character of a Muslim. She said, Innaka tasilur rahim. That was the Prophet ﷺ before the revelation. She said, you reach out your kinship. وَتُقْرِ الضَّيْفِ. And you're very hospitable when you have a guest. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الدَّهْرِ. If somebody is going through a difficulty, you're always there for them. Wallahi, there's a hadith where a jariya, like a very like poor lady who lived in Medina, she said, I used to go and take the Prophet ﷺ by the arm and go through the streets of Medina until he will do for me what I want, and then he'll go back home. Allahu Akbar. A prophet, the leader of the ummah, has some time to an ordinary lady. He took care of everyone. Even one day, when he woke up in the morning and he was looking around in the masjid, he missed a lady. The hadith even didn't mention her name. Because it's not about your name, it's about what you do. So subhanAllah, he said, where's the lady who cleans the masjid? He said, Prophet of Allah, she passed away last night, and we hated to wake you up. So we just washed her body and we buried her. He got angry. He said, why didn't you wake me up? And he went to the cemetery. He went to the graveyard specially for her. And he made salah on her and he made dua for her. He cares. He cares about everyone. How do we treat our kids today? Especially if they come to the masjid and they make some noise. Do we have patience with them? Or do we start yelling at them? The Prophet ﷺ passes by Umayyir. He's the brother of Anas radiallahu anhu. And he found Umayyir is playing with a bird. So he stops. He's a leader of the Ummah. He's a prophet, but yet he had some time and quality time for a child. He stops there and say, Umayyir, how's your bird? He said, it's good. He said, what do you call it? And the Prophet ﷺ gave the bird a name. He called it Nughayyir. So every time he would see Umayyir, he said, Umayyir, ma fa'ala Nughayyir? Oh, Umayyir, how's your Nughayyir? Even the name of the bird rhymes with the name of Umayyir. And Umayyir would feel so happy. Imagine the Prophet ﷺ cares about even his pet, a bird. Until one day he passed by him and he found that Umayyir is crying. And the big shots amongst the Sahaba were walking with the Prophet ﷺ. He saw a child crying, he asked the Sahaba to go. And he stopped with the child. He said, Umayyir, why are you crying? How's your Nughayyir? He said, Mata Nughayyir Ya Rasulullah. My bird passed away. He spent one entire hour with him until the kid was smiling. Then he left him. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ الله أكبر. Allah said this about him in Surah Al-Anbiya 21, Ayah 107. O Muhammad, we have not sent you except as the embodiment of compassion and mercy for all nations, all cultures, all languages. He walks on the day of Eid and he finds a young kid crying on the side of the road. He stopped. Well, I was watching the news before I came and I was crying. You know, the situation of the Syrians in the north. And there is like, you know, some floods there. Their tents are flooded. And I'm saying, subhanAllah, I'm here under the roof and we have heat and they're standing in the street, freezing. Do we even feel sad? Do we make dua for them, the least we can do? So the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us. He wouldn't just walk by a child, even a child crying. He's still like, why are you crying? He said, everybody's going to Salatul Eid with a dad. But I lost my dad in the battle, so I don't have a father. He said, would you like Muhammad to be your father? And the Prophet ﷺ carried him and he took him to the Salatul Eid. He put a smile on his face. So going back, we said that Mecca was, what was the faith in Mecca? Idol worshipping. What was happening in Medina? Also idol worshipping. But there were some people of the book in Medina. There were three tribes of the Yahud, of the Jews, right? So the people of Mecca, they tried to stop the Prophet ﷺ and they couldn't. So they wanted to embarrass him because they are not people of the book. They were like worshipping idols. So they said, let's go to the people of the book. They have a book. And then ask them about something that Muhammad doesn't know. So let's come back and embarrass him. So they went to them and they said, can you tell us something that you only know? So we can go to Muhammad and embarrass him. They said, yes. Go and ask him, what do you know about Yusuf? And why did Yusuf and his family left Ard Kanaan, which is Bilad al-Sham, basically at that time called Palestine? There was no Lebanon or Syria, it was all Palestine. Why did they leave Palestine and go to Egypt? If he knows, then he's a prophet and he receives revelation. If he doesn't, then he's a liar. So they came to the Prophet ﷺ and they said, we have a question for you. What do you know about Yusuf? And why did he and his family leave Palestine and go to Egypt? So Allah revealed the surah to support the Prophet ﷺ. Yes, until that moment, he didn't know about Yusuf. And that was one of the reasons of the revelation of the surah. He said, they're coming to ask you. Here you go. Here's the surah. Here's the story of Yusuf. And guess what? The details of the story of Yusuf in the Quran is more than the details of the same story in the Torah and in the Injil. In the book that was revealed in Hebrew, to Musa alayhi salam at Torah, and the book that was revealed to Isa alayhi salam in Aramaic, that's called Al-Injil. So when their scholars wanted to read the surah or the story of Yusuf, they would read it from the Quran. Now, let's go to the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the beginning of the surah says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام را تلك آيات الكتاب المبين إنا أنزلناه قرآنا عربيا لعلكم تعقلون Alif, Lam, Ra. These are called Al-Huruf Al-Muqatta'ah, the broken letters or the separate alphabetical letters. And they can be found in some surahs of the Quran, almost 29 of them. If you combine them together, they will make 14 letters of the Arabic alphabet. And how many letters are there in the Arabic alphabet? I'm asking. 27, mashallah. Who said 27? Allahu Akbar, that's wrong. 28. Are you sure? 28 or 26? You know what? You need to join my class, inshallah. Starting, I'm just going to do a promo now, okay? I'm starting an Arabic class at the University of Carleton, inshallah, on the 20th of January. And wallahi, one way of understanding the Quran, you need to do the language of the Quran. And as you see now, subhanAllah, in the second ayah where Allah said, Inna anzalnahu Quranan Arabiya. Many people come to me and say, why do you cry when you listen to the Quran? Sometimes I pray Taraweeh, and some Arabs next to me, they're crying, and I don't cry. I say, because they understand what's being recited. They picture the ayah. And that's how the Sahaba used to interact with the Quran, because they know the meaning. How can you interact with the Quran without knowing? So, the Arabic alphabet is 28 letters. Thank you. I owe you a candy, inshallah. One day Ali will bring me some candy here, inshallah. Okay? So, if you combine all these huruf muqatta'ah at the beginning of some surahs in the Quran, they will make how many letters? 14. As if Allah is saying, this is half the Arabic alphabet. And the Quran is composed of these same letters. So, sometimes you have three of them at the beginning of a surah. Sometimes five. Sometimes four, sometimes even two or one. What do they mean? At the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, for example, it starts with Alif Lam Mim. Here we have Alif Lam Ra. So number 19. Kaf Ha Ya Sad. Five letters, right? So number 20, Taha. These are two letters. It's not Taha, your cousin. No, it's Ta and Ha. These are two letters. But mashallah, you made it Taha now. Thaw number 36. Ya Seen. Ya and Seen. These are two letters. But mashallah, your other cousin is Yaseen. Right? His name is Yaseen? Mashallah. When you have a son, inshallah, call him Yaseen. Okay? So, are you married? Are you married?
No.
So how come? Okay, just kidding. Okay, so, you know, you go further, so number 38 is one letter. Saad. Fast forward. So number 50, one letter. Qaf. What is the meaning of these letters? Do they have meanings? There are 15 opinions amongst the scholars of tafsir. But none of them has an evidence that the Prophet ﷺ said, this is the meaning of these alphabetical letters. This is why we say, you know what? We're not going to go there. Only Allah knows the meaning of these separate or broken letters at the beginning of some surahs. The only conclusion that some scholars came to, and it makes sense. You know, when you look at the Quran, there are five ayat, we call them ayat al-tahaddi. The verses of challenge. The verses of challenge. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is challenging the Arabs. Why? Because every single prophet was supported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when people rejected him. Shall I give you an example?
Yes.
Shall I give you an example?
Yes.
Only five yeses. Shall I give you an example?
Yes.
Hey, wake up. Wake up, Ottawa. Okay. Imagine if I come today. This is the south of Ottawa, right? Do you have a messenger here in the south of Ottawa? You don't have one? What if I come tonight and say, I'm the messenger of Ottawa, inshallah? What should be your reaction?
You're a liar.
Yeah, the brother said, you're a liar. Astaghfirullah. He's insulting me. No, he's brave enough to say the truth. Because I cannot be a messenger. Why? Because in Surah number 33, Al-Ahzab, Ayah number 40, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the Prophet, he said, وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. He's the seal of prophets. There is no prophet after him. So you're coming in the 21st century and you're saying you're the messenger of Ottawa? Get out of here. Right? The next step, if I insist, you're going to say, okay, you need to go to the hospital. You have something wrong. But you know what? Prove it. You're making a claim? Prove it. Can I prove it? No. SubhanAllah, this is exactly what happened with every single prophet across the history of prophethood. Do you know how many prophets and messengers have been sent since the beginning of Adam alayhi salam till Muhammad alayhi salam? 124,000. Let me repeat the number again, because I'm going to quiz you inshallah in 2 weeks from now. What's the number? 124,000 prophets and messengers. Amongst them, there are 315 messengers. So, what do you mean? I mean, every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. Give me example. Musa alayhi salam received the Torah. That's a message. That's a book. He's a messenger and a prophet. Harun, his brother, followed his book and followed his message. He's a prophet but not a messenger. Is that clear now? So every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. So we have 124,000 prophets. Amongst them, there are 315 messengers. Okay? Whenever they came to the people and we said, I'm the messenger of Allah. You know what people said? They said, you're a liar. What happened to you? You were amongst us today. Like, you know, like all of a sudden you became a messenger. Prove it. Then when they were asked to prove it, who sent them with a message? When you say Rasul means messenger, right? And a messenger is sent with a message, which is Rasul and Risala. Who sent the messenger with a message? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would support the messenger to prove that he is a true messenger and he's not claiming, right? So when Musa alayhi salam came, he said, I'm the messenger of Allah. People said, no, that's not true. Prove it. So Allah supported him with what we call mu'ajiza. What's mu'ajiza? Miracle. Something that only Allah can do. So what was common at the time of Musa alayhi salam? Magic. So if you go and study the story of Musa alayhi salam, all his miracles were related to what? To magic. Because everybody believes that at that time. They can see it. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Naml, when he sent Musa alayhi salam, he said, we sent him fi tis'i ayatin ila fir'aun wa mala'i. We sent Musa alayhi salam with 9 miracles, one after the other. One of them is that he turned the river Nile that you can see now in Egypt into blood. Can you imagine, you wake up in the morning and you want to go to the river Nile, you want to drink, and it's all blood. Oh my God, what's going on? So they said, Musa, please ask God to bring it back to sweet water. They saw this with their own eyes, but then they didn't believe. Allah akhadahum bis-sinin. What's a sinin? Famine and drought. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moved the mountain on top of their heads. And it was about to come down and crush them. So many ayat, many miracles. Who can move a mountain like that? Musa couldn't, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? He couldn't. So one of his miracles, they saw it themselves. The Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, you know, throw the staff or the stick in your hand. It turned into snake. Right? He said, take it back. And it will become a stick again. And guess what? He was commanded to take it back from the head, not the tail. Can you imagine if you are going now to hold the snake from the mouth? And it came back. And everybody saw this. Right? Musa alayhi salam was brown like us. One time, in front of them, he put his hand into his pocket and he brought it up, he got it out, and it became white in less than a second. How many years and how many surgery did it take Michael Jackson? It took Allah 1 second, less than that. You know, no surgeries. The brown color became white. It was a miracle, right? And they wouldn't believe again. Is that clear? Now, moving on to Isa alayhi salam. He came to the people and said, I am the messenger of Allah. They said, you're lying. Prove it. What was common at the time of Isa alayhi salam? Tell me. Medicine, right? So the miracles of Isa alayhi salam are all about medicine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the power to bring the hearing back to the deaf, the seeing back to the blind. He used to bring dead people back to life, but it's all bi-idhnillah, with the help of Allah. Because he's a perfect human being, like Prophet Muhammad, like Prophet Musa. You know, he doesn't have godly powers, but Allah supported him with a miracle. Is that clear? Now, fast forward now, going back to Alif Lam Ra. I took you into 2 tangents now, right? Why? Because I want to ask you, what was common at the time of the Prophet ﷺ? What did the Arabs master at that time? Language, poetry, right? Literary appreciation. An Arab would write a poem, 400 lines of verse, without making the slightest mistake in rhyme, rhythm, structure, you name it. And they used to compete and to have like competitions in Suq Uqad and in Mecca, and the winning poem would be written in gold and it would be hanged on the Kaaba. And it's known in the history of Arabic literature as Al-Mu'allaqat. Al-Mu'allaqat means the poems that were hanged on the Kaaba. Okay? So if Arabs are masters of the language, what do you think the miracle of all miracles would be? This book. So I told you there are five ayat in the Quran called ayat al-tahaddi, the five verses of a challenge. Allah challenged the Arabs in this book by saying, make up a Quran like this. They couldn't. Then he said, only 10 surahs. He gave them a discount. They couldn't. Then, if you read in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, ayah number 21, Allah said, وَإِن كُنتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ, and if you are in doubt, مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا, about what we sent down to our slave Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ. Allah took the discount to one surah. And Allah is saying, you know what? The Quran is made of Alif Lam Ra, Alif Lam Mim, Qaf, Sad, Kaf Ha Ya Ain Sad, Ha Mim. The same letters that you write poems. You see now the meaning of the alphabetical broken letters at the beginning of some surahs? It's a challenge from Allah to the Arabs. If you master the language, can you come up with one surah like the Quran? Not only that, he said, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ, and try to call everyone who can support you beside Allah. إِن كُنتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you're telling the truth. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا, look at the challenge. If you were not able to do this in the past, وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا, and you will never be able to do this till the day of judgment. That's a challenge till the day of judgment. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ, try to make a barrier between you, a protection between you and the punishment of Allah, which is hellfire. Guess what? Some people tried. There's a famous one called Musaylam al-Kadhab. There's a famous one who claimed to be a messenger and he's receiving revelation. Subhanallah, I would dare anyone in the gathering here to know his last name. He was stuck by the name that the Prophet ﷺ gave him, Musaylama the liar, Al-Kadhab. It's like Abu Jahl. Very few people of you would know the name of Abu Jahl. Before Islam, he was Abu al-Hakam, the father of wisdom. But when Islam came and he did not accept it, the Prophet ﷺ called him Abu Jahl, the father of ignorance. How many of you know his real name? He got stuck with that name till he died. So this man is called Musaylama the liar. Funny story, he came one day to Amr ibn al-As. And he said to him, Amr, did you receive any revelation recently? He said, yeah. I mean, he meant the Prophet ﷺ. He said, what was the last revelation that came to your Prophet? He said, Surah Al-Fil. Okay? The surah called the elephant. He said, I also, you know, just received a surah called Al-Fil. He said, okay, share with me, please. He said, listen, Al-Fil, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْفِيلِ لَهُ دَيْلٌ قَصِيرٌ وَخُرْتُومٌ طَوِيلٌ. It's like some people who know some Arabic, they started laughing. It's hilarious. He thought by putting some words together that are rhyming, he's making up a Quran. And guess what? He's talking to Dahiyat al-Arab. He's talking to Amr ibn al-As, one of the smartest people amongst the Arabs. So Amr looked at him angrily. Oh, do you want to know the translation of what he said? Okay. You have to donate 20 bucks each, inshallah, for the translation to the masjid. Okay, that's what he said. He said, Al-fil wa ma adraka mal-fil. The elephant and what makes you realize what the elephant is. He's trying to, you know, imitate the style of the Quran. And then he said, Lahu dhaylun qasir. The elephant has a short tail. Wa khurtumun tawil. And it has a long trunk. Okay. Yeah, that's it. That's the surah. So Amr looked at him and he said, Musaylama, you know that I know that you're a liar. Get lost and I don't want to see you again. Subhanallah, until today, brothers and sisters, no one can imitate the inimitable language of the Quran. It's the miracle of all miracles. You know, every prophet, their miracles died with their death. Except Isa alayhi salam, because we believe that he did not die. He was not crucified. He was taken up alive and he'll come back as one of the greater signs of the approachment of the Day of Judgment. But their miracles are gone with them, right? Except the miracle of all miracles. It will stay forever. Because Allah said in Surah number 15, Surah Al-Hijr, and number 9, Inna nahnu nazzalna al-dhikr. Indeed, we have sent down the dhikr, the reminder. That's one of the names of the Quran. Because you and I forget, we need a reminder all the time. Many scholars talked about Surah Yusuf before me. I did a PhD on Surah Yusuf, and I'm sure many people did this before me, and some people will do something after me, right? And subhanAllah, what's amazing about this book? لا يبلى مع كثرة الرد. SubhanAllah. The more you read, the more you get something new. I did my PhD in 1995. This is when I started. Okay? Wallahi, until today, the more I read, the more I learn something new about Surah Yusuf. And you will continue to do this until you die. You can never, ever cover the wonders in this book. Brothers, can you imagine? These are the words of Allah. How precious that is. You have the words of Allah in your hands. So Allah is challenging the Arabs by saying, Alif Lam Ra, Alif Lam Mim. You know what I'm saying now? That was a challenge for the Arabs. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Tilka ayatul kitab al mubin. Tilka ism ishara lil ba'id. For the feminine, lil mu'annath. So Allah is saying, these are, if I just may like render a simple translation, these are the verses of the clear book. Wallahi, I feel that the English language is very incompetent. When I'm gonna share with you, inshallah, I can't even finish this today. Because it's gonna take us till 10 o'clock. And I don't wanna keep you late, so we're gonna keep it light, inshallah. But when you see how much I'm gonna share about tilka and ayat and al-kitab and al-mubin, that will take maybe the next whole lecture. But in Arabic, in English, what you read is, these are the verses of the clear book. What do you get out of that? Almost nothing. You don't feel anything. But when we go deep and search into every single connotations and denotations of the words, this is how can you relate to the Quran. And how would you know? Why did Allah say tilka, which is ism ishara al-ba'id? It means like, you know, when you want to point at something which is far away, you say tilka to the plural. So subhanAllah, the Quran is in my hands. It's very close to me, but I'm saying tilka. Why? That's what we'll learn, inshallah, next time. Ayat. How many meanings does the word ayat have when it comes in the Quran? 4 meanings. What are they? Do you want to know them? Yes. Next time, inshallah. Al-Kitab. When Allah talks about the Quran, He says Al-Kitab. And also He talks about Al-Quran. What is the difference between Al-Kitab and Al-Quran? Is it the same? Yes. But what's the difference? You need to know this. Would you like to know? Next time, inshallah. You know, Al-Mubin. In Arabic, they say, in English, they say, clear. Subhanallah, it has two meanings within the same word. Allah didn't say Al-Bayyin. Al-Bayyin means clear. But Al-Mubin has two meanings. And if you would like to know them, we're going to share this also next time, inshallah. But what I want to leave you with is the following. It's amazing that every time Allah uses al-huruf al-muqatta'a, Allah will always talk about the Quran right away in the following ayah, which means, you know, the Quran is composed of these letters. Is that clear? Shall I give you some examples quickly? Yeah. The one that we're reciting now. Alif Lam Ra. Tilka ayat Al-Kitab. What's Al-Kitab? Al-Quran. Even the next ayah, Inna anzalnahu Quran al-Arabi. Right? Ya Seen Wal-Quran al-Hakim. So the Quran is composed of Ya and Seen and other letters. Alif Lam Mim. Continue. Al-Baqarah. Thalika Al-Kitab. What's Al-Kitab? The Quran. صاد والقرآن ذي الذكر. The very next word, والقرآن. قاف والقرآن المجيد. And it goes on and on and on. Very few of them, you know, it's going to be mentioned in the second or third ayah. So as if Allah is saying to the Arabs, this Quran is composed of the same alphabet that you make poetry of. But I will make it impossible for you to imitate me when I talk. This is why I'll leave you with this before we start the Q&A, inshallah, for 10 minutes. Because I promise we finish by 8:30, inshallah. Okay? The scholar said, if you want Allah to talk to you, what do you do? Open the Quran. Allah will call you. If you want to talk to Allah and complain to Him, make wudu and start praying. Okay? Let's hold this in because you're distracting people. Come close, inshallah. Okay? Is that clear? So if you want to talk to Allah and complain to Him, what do you need to do? Make wudu and connect with Allah. Salah means connection. Connect with Allah. And if you want Allah to talk to you, open the Quran. You will hear Allah calling you in three ways. Ya Bani Adam. 8 times in the Quran. O children of Adam. Allah is calling you. Right? Or Ya Ayyuhannas. An example, 49:13. إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. O mankind, O people. But these two, he's talking generically to Muslims and non-Muslims, right? But there's a special call. When you hear it, when you read it, it's for you. You have to listen carefully. 89 times. Ya Ayyuhan Nas is 20 times. Ya Bani Adam is 8 times. But the next one that I'm going to talk about now is 89 times. It's a special call for special people who could be somewhere now having fun or like drinking coffee at Sheikh Tim Horton or like, you know, just like going around, right? But you choose to be here. Why? To boost your iman. To learn the book of Allah. Right? So Allah is calling you by that sifa, which is iman. He says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. 89 times in the Quran. So wallahi, brothers and sisters, when you hear Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, sometimes I was sitting with some brothers in the car. And when Ya Ayyuha Ladina Amanu came, I did like this. They said, what? I said, I feel so special when Allah says, Ya Ayyuha Ladina Amanu, I wish I'll be amongst the true believers. Can you imagine if somebody beloved to your heart calls you? What would you do with the phone? Would you hesitate to pick up the call? And how do I know that you love the person calling? You look at the phone and you do this. Right? So Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, smile, say, yes Allah, I'm here. What's next? What's coming? Allah would say, Istajibu lillah. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tuqaddimu bayna yaday Allahi wa rasulih. Always he would say, do something which is good or stay away from something which is bad. That's what you'll always hear after Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. So you have to do this. But subhanAllah, sometimes when we look at the phone, I can tell that you don't want to talk to that person. You pick up the phone, you look at the screen and say, right? You don't even want to talk to the person. You give it to your son and say, what do you call this in Islam? It depends. If you're talking about the 21st century people, they call it white lie, brownish lie. But at the time of the Prophet, it's a lie. Lies have no color. It's a lie. But today, to convince ourselves, like, it's a white lie, Shaykh. No. In fact, you are teaching your kid to be a professional liar. And you come after 20 years, you come to me, it's like, you know, Shaykh, I don't know why my son lies all the time. I said, really? I think he learned this at an academy called Home. Home Academy. Have you heard about it? Because you told him, you say, he's going to be very confused. He's going to say, Uncle, wait, because my dad is doing weird stuff here. Hold on. What do you want? It's like, stupid. Tell him I'm not here. It's like, okay. Don't call names. Assalamu alaikum, uncle. My dad tells you he's not here. Why? Because he doesn't know how to lie, but you're teaching him now. Right? No, you can't do that. You can't do that. Like, shall we pick on the sisters? Do we have sisters listening, Brother Ali? I don't worry. Like, I have, mashallah, lots of bodyguards here, inshallah. Can go home safe. Let's pick on them too, because the brothers always say, why do you pick on them all the time? Okay? You know, somebody comes and knocks on the door, and the sister would say to her daughter, she doesn't even want to talk, you know. Then she opens the door, she says, Auntie so-and-so. Again, what does this mean?
I'm sleeping.
See, mashallah, you see, they know. Then she's going to be confused. Mom, you're sleeping and talking to me? Anyway. Sorry, auntie, my mom tells you that she's sleeping. Right? Because she doesn't know how to lie. Right? And mashallah, your mom talks in her sleep? She needs to see a doctor. Okay? So we have to be very careful, because leading by example, and inshallah, we're going to talk about this in our khutbahs, inshallah, in the coming khutbahs, because mashallah, we have the young people. So I'm going to take advantage, inshallah, next khutbah, I'm going to talk about parenting, the relationship between the kids and the parents. Because I know that some parents will come to me and say, Shaykh, you know, talk to the kids. You know, they don't show respect. They don't pray on time, and they talk back to their mom. They talk back to their mom, right? Right? Okay. So one said this, and one said this. So I mean, the first one is clear, the second one is clear, but the third one is like, okay, no, it's like halfway, you know, in between. So I said, the best way to raise your children is lead by example. You know, when you come back home and it's the time of Asr. Let's talk about the summer, okay? And then you start yelling at your children. Did you pray Asr? They're going to say, okay. Go and pray Asr. Okay. And you know what they do? They go to the room. They lock themselves in, play two video games, and come out. Did you pray Asr? Alhamdulillah. They're not going to say yes or no because they're lying if they say this, right? But mashallah, they became very smart. So they're going to say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi la yuhmad ala makruhin siwa. You know, Alhamdulillah at all times, whether we prayed or not. It's a generic answer, right? Why? Because you're yelling at them, right? But what about this scenario? When you come back from work and it's Asr time, because this kid who was scared of you when he was young, he'll go to the room and do this. But guess what? When he hits teenage and he becomes as tall as you, and you tell him, did you pray Asr? He's going to say, what about you? Ooh. Right? And this is when parents start crying. Oh my God. My son is talking back to me. He's questioning me. But why do you question him? Are you Allah? You see what I'm saying? Just be truthful. And it really hits you hard. Because you just came, you didn't pray Asr yourself. And you want him to pray Asr. Just like, did you pray Asr? It's like, what about you? What about this third scenario? You come back home and you say, hey kids, inshallah we're going to pray Asr in 5 minutes. First one will join me, we'll have a chocolate. Second one will have a candy. Third one will have a slap on the face. Fourth one will take the garbage. I mean, okay. So you assign rules, right? And then, you know, once you make wudu, you are the first one to make iqama. It's like, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. They will be running. And it will be like a very positive atmosphere. You're not pushing. Even if one of them is lazy, who's going to come back, he knows he's the garbage man. Because he's the last one. Right? He only called the last rak'ah. And the one who missed the first rak'ah, no slapping, of course. And I'm just kidding, okay? And then the first one, after you say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, my chocolate. Astaghfirullah, this is shirk. Are you playing for a chocolate or praying to Allah? Hey, when kids are young, you have to be honest with them. If you promise them something, you have to give it to them. Because the Prophet ﷺ was sitting, and there was a lady, and she called her kid. And she said, come here, come here. I have a date for you. And then the kid came, and she opened her hand, and there was a date. And she gave him the date. You know what the Prophet ﷺ said? He said, if there was no date in your hand, it will be written with Allah as a lie. Ya Allah. We promise kids we're going to buy you a car, we're going to buy you a bike. You know, if you get like, you know, A plus, I'm going to get you, you know, one of al-hur al-ayn. Come on. You know, don't give promise until you are able to fulfill them. Right? So let's take a question, inshallah. Who's going to give me the first question? Who's going to give me the first question? Otherwise, we're going to close, inshallah. No questions? Any questions about Surah Yusuf? Okay. You are a very peaceful audience today. Oh, okay. We have one here. Okay. So the question is off topic. I'll conclude with it inshallah because I promised you 8:30. We're just going to conclude with this one inshallah so that you can get benefit of the halaqa. Don't leave in the last second inshallah because we're going to make dua inshallah at the end. Okay? So the brother is saying if I miss salah for a day or two, of course there must be a reason. You can't take your salah lightly. I mean if you're like really very sick or something. But you can't just say, look, I'm not going to pray for a day or two. You cannot do that. Okay? So how can I make it up? The Prophet ﷺ said, مَنَّامَ عَنْ صَلَاهُ أَوْ نَسِيَهَا فموعدها حين يذكرها أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. If you sleep in or if you forget a salah, the time for that salah, once you remember it or once you wake up. Okay? So whatever salah you miss is a debt. You have to pay it off and immediately. Okay? So for example, if I missed Dhuhr and Asr, okay? Before I pray Maghrib, if the time of Maghrib comes, I have to pray Maghrib. But then after Maghrib, I pray Dhuhr and Asr. Some people say, no, inshallah, we'll do it next day, inshallah, with Dhuhr and Asr. Can you guarantee to live to Isha? So how would you pay that debt at that point? Is that clear? So whatever you miss, you have to make up right away. Okay? May Allah accept from us all, inshallah. Allahumma ja'al tajammu'ana hada tajammu'an marhuma. وجعل تفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل منا ولا بيننا شقيا ولا محروما اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم إنا نسألك لسانا ذاكرا وقلبا خاشعا وعملا متقبلا ودعاء مستجابا طهر ألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة وأعمالنا من الرياء وقلوبنا من النفاق اللهم كل إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين اللهم كل إخواننا في سوريا وفي فلسطين وفي العراق وفي كشمير وفي بورما وفي كل مكان يستضعف فيه المسلمين يا رب العالمين اللهم عليك بكل من طغى وتكبر اللهم عليك بكل من طغى وتكبر اللهم اجعل آخر كلامنا من الدنيا لا إله إلا الله وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.